Welcome back to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
Jackson alongside Thomas Gomez for the Racing Rundown, 9 to 10 every single Saturday morning here as we talk about the week in NASCAR that was, some of the big stories, and then we preview the race tomorrow that it will be. We also talk a lot about local racing as well and plan to have at least somebody on here next week to talk about one of the big races that are going to be on, and we'll fill you in about that on social media throughout the week as well. You can follow us at Sports Fan Rockford, Twitter, Facebook, and everywhere on social media. As we like to promote the show, we like to talk about racing. We also talk about the other sports that are on here on the station, like the White Sox, who will be playing a little bit later on today as well. But Thomas, you and I have been talking about the New Hampshire race, which I'm glad that you were able to remember.
Thanks.
That it was in Loudoun. And it's nice when they remind us that they used to call it Loudoun all the time. It turned out to be a much better race than advertised. We've seen a string of about three or four. Is there anything that we have missed talking about New Hampshire that you wanted to touch upon?
Well, coming out of New Hampshire, something that would make Denny Hamlin really happy. The NASCAR has updated their uncontrolled tire penalty.
Were they listening to our show last week?
I think they were. I think we should take credit for that.
This was a huge topic of conversation where something needed a change, and both you and I were pretty adamant about this. Tell me about what happened.
Yeah, so, well, going back a couple of weeks, Denny Hamlin got an uncontrolled tire penalty for something, for being outside of an arm's length, and then he fought back with NASCAR, you know, what's an arm's length, you know? And then all the other teams were doing the same exact thing, but not getting penalized. And this has happened week after week, so Denny Hamlin's been fighting this fight. NASCAR has finally updated that rule. They will be removing the part of the rule book that says the tire has to be within arm's length, and they're now going to judge it based on whether or not the tire interfered with another team coming into pit, or if there was a safety violation.
Which is exactly the way that it should be, right?
Exactly.
That's what we've discussed last week, because when we talk about an arm's length, the tire that they are changing, they take out the tire to put another one in. Well, someone's got to hold that tire. Sometimes it's a foot from the guy who's filling up the gas. Sometimes it's a person who just puts it off to the side while they're putting in a new tire. It had to be within an arm's length, but everybody's arm is a different length.
Right.
Some people have similar sized arms, but overall, if somebody, and I think I use Shaquille O'Neal as a reference, his arm is probably a lot longer than the average person. So what, you can have the tire a lot further out because you're gifted genetically. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So unless if NASCAR had some kind of laser system that would accurately describe that the tire is within a certain, you know, distance between the person, the tire was just sitting there when Hamlin got penalized. He ended up getting penalized after arguing about it. He got penalized for the same damn thing, what, the next week?
Yep.
And the tire that was uncontrolled was sitting there. It was stationary. If it was outside of arm's length, we're talking about an inch or two. We're talking about the tip of a middle finger. It was not in the way of any car that was pulling out. It was not a danger to anybody else that was there. And you know what? The guy who was changing the tire, who had the tire outside of arm's length, picked it up and ran it over the wall, and nobody knew one way or another, unless if NASCAR was just going to be way too stringent on the rule, which they were. And I'm glad that they finally got that fixed, and I'm glad they're listening to the show.
Yeah, me too. But I like it that you said that NASCAR, do they have a laser system to keep this in track, you know, with uncontrolled tires?
They should.
You know what they can use? The white lines painted on the ground for their pit box. That is clear as day whether or not it left the pit box or not.
And that's what they're going to start to use now.
Yep, exactly. Or if it was in the way of another driver coming to pit or whatever.
Yeah, some cars take they're a little bit aggressive when it comes to pulling into their pit box by going through the corners of other pit boxes. And so if the tire gets run over by a car that's going into their pit box, I get that. That's uncontrolled then. Control right. That thing. We would not be arguing that that would be a penalty. I don't even think that Denny Hamlin would be arguing that that would be a penalty. I think that it's good that they made this rule up in the middle of the season, and I was honestly waiting for that to happen for the longest time. NASCAR, one good thing you could say about them is that if something needs to be changed, they don't wait around until the end of the season to do it the next year. The season is too damn long. They take care of it when they feel that it becomes too pressing of an issue. They did it with the qualifying, whether you liked it or not, there was a change that was made, and now with this, they did it again.
And I feel that's something recent, too, with Jim France being the new CEO and running the show, really. that we're seeing a lot more changes in NASCAR versus the previous president with Brian France.
How do you think he's doing so far?
I think he's doing great. You know, we introduced group qualifying. Didn't work. We changed it. Uncontrolled tire penalty. Okay, we updated that. Next season, the schedule is different. We have a doubleheader. There's a lot of new things coming to NASCAR. But just this year that I feel like he's on to a great start.
And the new tapered spacer package and what they have was already set in motion when Brian France was still there. So it's Jim France who's just taking all of what was already existing and he's moving forward with pretty much what's being presented to him. And I feel like I agree with you that they're sitting around and they're trying to figure out a way to get more fans involved in this sport that are more interested in this sport. And so they're going to come up with some things that maybe ultimately don't work. Group qualifying sounded awesome. It didn't end up working, so they fixed it to get back. I agree with you. So far, Jim France has been a pretty good addition, given the circumstances.
And I feel like the biggest challenge right now for NASCAR is the younger audience.
And I wanted to talk about that. As if you are a subscriber to The Athletic, hopefully you are. If you're not, and I'm not trying to sell The Athletic here. I'm certainly not a writer for them, but they do have some excellent coverage, and it's a lot like one giant newspaper with some of the most talented writers in any sport, football, hockey, baseball, and there's a big section on motorsports. We talk a lot about Jeff Gluck on here.
Yep.
Jordan Bianchi of The Athletic wrote an article earlier this week about how NASCAR is introducing itself to a younger audience right now. Because NASCAR is a traditional sport, right? The average age of those who watch television or watch NASCAR is higher than almost any other sport right now. And that's a problem.
Right.
You constantly want to keep a younger audience included so you don't skip a generation and have to go through a prolonged slump to keep your sport afloat. But NASCAR is doing something right now that is kind of on the underground. And I wanted to see what your interest level on something like this is. Are you a PlayStation or an Xbox player, Thomas?
No, I've had both. I've had a PlayStation 2, maybe a 3, Xbox 360, but now I'm a Switch. I'm a Switch guy.
Have you ever played a NASCAR game?
Oh, of course.
Right now, they do have NASCAR Heat, and this isn't groundbreaking by any means, and this isn't what this conversation is going to be about. NASCAR is not introducing itself to a younger audience because they have NASCAR Heat available. Every other sport, you know, has something like that. There are leagues that are done within that game. But what I'm talking about is something that is a little bit more into it, and something that, honestly, I didn't expect this, but one of the oldest organizations, if not the oldest organization in NASCAR right now, the Wood Brothers, are at the forefront of this new wave of iRacing.
Huh.
You're familiar with iRacing?
Yes. It's not controller, like, you know, you're playing a video game racing. It's like you're actually in a roll cage, but it's all digital, right?
You have a steering wheel, you have a gas pedal and a brake pedal, and you've got the huge monitor in front of you, and you are essentially like you would see at an arcade, except this is more modern.
Right.
And the graphics are incredibly good, but you are running in a race car. You don't have to put the helmet on. It's not 130 degrees. So some things are a little bit better than not, but you can run all the top tracks in this thing. And they have these leagues, these esports. This is something that not only NASCAR is signing their name to and really helping some of the younger generation get into a NASCAR game like this called iRacing. This is something that teams like the Wood Brothers, Joe Gibbs Racing with Interstate Batteries, Interstate Batteries is all about this, and they're sponsoring a guy to run in a car in the iRacing series. Right now, there's 17 teams. One of them is even owned by Jeff Burton and Parker Kligerman.
Wow.
And they've got every track, as I mentioned. These drivers are just racing in whatever cars. You could watch these things play because these guys are good. These guys are obviously sponsored, and they get sponsorship money. It's like an underground online NASCAR game.
And that's the thing I don't think... Myself, personally, I didn't realize is that there's money tied to this. You know, when I see iRacing on, you know, for me, it's Facebook Live there I saw it first. I always just assumed it was like a car you'd pick in a video game. I didn't realize that this was actual money being put into this.
And you can certainly play it. And you could certainly turn on the game and you can play it by yourself and you could learn how to race that way. But these leagues are similar to, if you've heard about the Madden leagues, They even have a television show, I believe, on ESPN where people are very good at playing Madden. And so they end up doing it in a tournament and they end up getting there for money. So you're essentially watching this show within a show of two people sitting on a couch and playing Madden for a bunch of money. This is like that, except it's
realistic.
Realistic in the sense where you're driving the car. Certainly in Madden, you're throwing the ball, you're calling the plays, you've got what works for you, you have your game plans, there's a lot that goes into it, but you're not doing what the football players do. You're not running with the football wearing a helmet and trying to fend off people trying to tackle you. You're playing a video game. With this, it's almost like NASCAR is molding their next generation of drivers. Right now, the Wood Brothers employ somebody who's 16 years old named Slade Gravett. I apologize. The youngest driver in the league. He's 16 years old. The first time they ever put him in a car, or, you know, quote unquote car in the iRacing series, he won his first ever race at Charlotte. And this is against the best of the best. People that are getting paid to do this. And you can follow along with this league and get alerts when they race. It looks shockingly similar to the real thing. And you've seen the graphics.
I have. It's extremely realistic. You wouldn't even know it's a video game or all digital.
I saw the wallpaper that was used on the top of The Athletic by the article from Jordan Bianchi. Again, go and search this out if you have The Athletic. A lot of times they charge something like $25 for the year. If you find the right deal at the right time of the year, you get all of like this interesting stuff with NASCAR. But this thing, I was enthralled with how in depth this stuff goes. And I didn't realize NASCAR had their hand in this as much as they possibly do. They get all the rights to the tracks. The tracks go on there. These people are racing. You can watch this thing whenever it goes off and just search iRacing League and NASCAR and you can find it. It's on YouTube. I think it's on Twitch, but it just looks like another race. The wallpaper looks exactly like those guys are at Kentucky.
It's so cool.
So it's another way for NASCAR to make money. It's also another way to get people who are interested because, I don't know, it depends on how old you are. I mean, if you've got a kid at home that's getting into video games and maybe they're not into racing, but you're watching racing all the time and you'd like their kid to get into it, show them iRacing. Say, hey, there's people across the country that are doing this. And maybe they already know about it, but they probably have Twitch. I'm sure they have YouTube. I'm sure that you can get to NASCAR and you can find it yourself. But this is one way that you can at least have a sigh of relief that NASCAR is going to be okay with the next generation of at least drivers. And that's also another thing that's crazy about this too, Thomas. NASCAR was such a traditional, when it was stock car racing, people used to just come up because they were putting parts in a car and they were amateur mechanics that grew up to really know their way around a Chevy or a Ford. And now things are so computerized that it's so expensive to where people can't really just get those parts and those computers and plug it in and start building cars that way. And that part's sad. I miss that, right? But if it's going to be computerized and you're not going to become a great mechanic, become a hell of a driver. Use some of the technology that is now taking over in the world. Become a hell of a driver. And in another 5-10 years, we're not going to see people that grew up as mechanics working with their dad on the car in the garage. We're going to see people who know exactly where the brake zone is when they're in turn 7 at Sonoma. It's crazy when you think about that.
It is. Especially, you know, when you take, like you said, everything's so digital and computerized now. If you take that mechanic aspect out of it, since it's all computerized, that's iRacing. I mean, that's all you're doing at that point is driving the car. Anything that goes wrong with the car, you can't fix because it's digital.
Exactly.
So it's really attracting a younger audience, and that younger audience, I can see some kid maybe, or, you know, young adult doing iRacing and being like, hey, NASCAR's coming to Chicagoland this weekend, and that's, you know, just in our backyard. Why don't we go check that out? And then, you know, that could eventually lead to actual in-car racing, you know, real life in-car racing.
How do the pros do it?
Exactly.
And then, because I know that I want to play Madden, and I don't care about Madden at any point of the year. But around the time that kickoff happens, when the Bears and Packers play in the first week of the season, I'm going to want to buy Madden. It's just within my nature to want to play what I am watching on television. That's the season for me. When the Super Bowl ends, I don't care about Madden anymore. I'm done. I'm done with football. I'm good. I don't care. I go on with the rest of my life. I don't care about it right now. Training camp is going on. The draft has been done. But when I see it on television, I want to play it.
It's like, oh, yeah.
if NASCAR is happening and there's iRacing that's happening and, you know, the season is so long, kids can get into it. They're only going to update the game. They're only going to keep on updating this stuff to keep it current. And there's so much money involved in it. You could really get a nice amount of people, if the price is right, to really start liking some of this new iRacing and NASCAR stuff through that way. So NASCAR is really helping out their younger audience. And the part that I forgot to, you may have seen this as a viewer of NASCAR. I'm talking to you, the listener, but also Thomas, I know that you've seen it as well. In between weeks, and we're going to see this next week when they go to Watkins Glen, what do the drivers use to get ready?
What do you mean?
To get ready for the race that week. What's a tool that some of the drivers use? They use iRacing.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get into the car and they'll start doing the iRacing just to really, again, like the brake zone and where to shift and where to like apply the pressure of the gas in the middle of a turn in somewhere like New Hampshire last weekend. That is a weird 1.058 mile track. Oh, yeah. I kind of know it, but I really need to freshen up a little bit. So let's get in the roll cage thing. Let's do some iRacing, and then I'll know when I need to accelerate coming out of turn 3 and 4.
Yeah, and TV viewers would recognize this from like the sweepers and stuff in between segments of the race.
Yeah.
They'll show drivers in that roll cage kind of like doing something for fun. Granted, that is for fun. They're recording it for, you know, sweeper purposes on television, but that's what they do off the track. They're doing that so they can practice and learn more for the upcoming race.
And again, it's not a perfect system. It still is a virtual online thing. You don't get the rubber peeling off the tires and going onto the track where the rubber is laid down, the grip level changes. You don't get the difference in the sun going down or cloud cover or how the temperature plays on a track, but you get how you would run it in a car, which is awesome. And it almost makes me want to pick it up, but I'm happy to see that NASCAR is introducing itself to a younger audience. I'm sure there's plenty of other ways that they could, but this is one way to start.
I completely agree with you. This is one way that they can really appeal to that younger audience and get them at the racetrack, because that's the end goal, is to get more butts in seats.
Is there anything else that we missed on New Hampshire before we move forward?
I think we pretty much covered it.
You know, there were actually a lot of fights. Not a lot of fights, but people were getting kind of angry at each other.
On what, Twitter?
No, during the race. Martin Truex Jr. and Clint Bowyer both had issues with each other. You had Stenhouse.
Shocker.
Getting angry at Eric Jones. Stenhouse saying that after he spun out and increased his, you know, number one percentage in all of NASCAR for amount of wrecks this season, Stenhouse then said, well, it's not the first time that the 20 has run me over like he just did there. And I'm going to end up getting back at him at some point eventually when he's trying to run for points toward the championship season. So he's calling out Eric Jones, saying that Eric Jones was a person at fault in this situation, and then saying that he is going to retaliate. I don't know if NASCAR comes down on that or if they just look at it like Stenhouse was probably heated.
He was heated. If you saw that interview after he got out of the car, he was mad. He walked to the infield care center. When does that happen? All the drivers have to get a ride to the infield care center. It's just NASCAR policy. He walked. He was so mad he just walked. Said, screw it, I'm just going.
He's also a guy who is now sitting in 22nd, I believe, in the points right now and probably needs to win in order to stick around to be in the playoffs this year. And Stenhouse has made it in the past. It's a win or you're in situation now with what, six races left to go?
For so, anybody. It's, you know, if you want to be in the chase, you have to win.
Another crazy thing that happened in New Hampshire is that everybody in the bubble for the point standings this year right now struggled. And really one guy who made it out as good as anybody could have in that situation was Jimmy Johnson, because he was able to get back after the water pump issue. But you had Kyle Larson. You had Ryan Newman having an awesome race, but he ran into some trouble as well. A couple of drivers around that bubble, everybody just had a real rough week. And in the next 2 weeks, it's going to become really important. You have Watkins Glen, but you also have Pocono tomorrow, where some of these cars with speed historically are going to be able to make up some ground. I don't imagine a lot of wrecks will happen at Pocono. We don't see that too often.
We didn't earlier, you know, just a few weeks ago, but it's closer to the playoffs. I truly believe that when we go to the tracks 2 times a year, the first race is calm, the second one is crazy, just because we're either in the playoffs or we're close to the playoffs, and a championship is on the line.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. So we'll talk about the second race at Pocono and what that means for the championship race going forward. Also, the local rundown. We like to tell you about the tracks that are around here and what they've got going on this week. A couple of awesome events that are happening. So we'll fill you in on that. We'll have our pick 3 for Pocono, and we'll wrap this baby up here in just a little bit. It's the Racing Rundown. He's Thomas Gomez. I'm Jackson on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
We'll take two tires and a splash of fuel. Turn four. It's the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330.